Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino here. We're back. Spicin' Hour. It's time to talk to Tyson and Spencer once again here on Rob Has a Podcast. It's the start of another week on RHAP. We're closing in about 2 weeks and change until the start of Survivor 30 and also the Amazing Race 26, all on one night on Wednesday, February 25th. Really, I'm so excited, and we've just got a million things to do in between now and then. Of course, you're listening to the Spicin' Hour here. We're going to have a bunch of other podcasts. You guys this week have about 6 or 7 podcasts coming up here just on Rob Has a Podcast, not even all the stuff we're doing on Scripted, on post-show recaps. But we have the Spicin' Hour today. We're going to have a recap of the Celebrity Apprentice. We won't be live tonight. I'm going to be covering Better Call Saul over on post-show recaps. It's the end of a 2-night premiere night for Better Call Saul. And it's a recap episode of the greatest moments from Celebrity Apprentice throughout its history. So I will talk with Mike Bloom about that tomorrow. I'll have that podcast up for you guys by Tuesday night. And of course, Tuesday night is going to be the Miss Survivor debate. We're going to get Tasha, Kelly, and Natalie all on the line at the same time, asking the questions that you want to know. They all really aced it in their interviews. I think this has been the best year for Miss and Mr. Survivor so far. All the interviews have been so fun. The men are going to get together, I think, on the weekend, and I'll let you know when we have a locked time and date for that because of everybody's schedule. On Wednesday night, we're going to get into the Survivor 30 preview show. Nicole and I are going to get together. It's going to be the 10th time Nicole and I are doing this on February 11th. And it's going to be the what I believe to be, if my memory serves me, we are going to be also celebrating 5 years of Rob Has a Podcast that night. So it's going to be a big night on Wednesday when we're live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I've got a couple of other podcasts that I'm working on for you guys this week. I'm going to talk to Dalton Ross this week. Also, I'm going to bring you our Valentine's Day special, a dating and relationship show that I did with Francesca Hoji. We're going to have Franny Cast talking about relationships from you guys and answering your dating questions for Valentine's Day. Plus, we'll get back into King of the Nerds this weekend and then, of course, Mr. Survivor. Now, before we get to Spicin', I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode. It's a very manly sponsor for a manly show with Spicin'. It's the Dollar Shave Club. Look, everybody needs razors, but the razors have gotten very expensive over the years. They've got all of this shaving technology that they're adding onto a razor. And I'm not sure if you need that kind of investment in the razor blade. They've got the vibrating handles, 19 blades, all kinds of lotion and strips and all this stuff. I'm not sure if you need all of that stuff, and it's not fair to make you guys pay for it. So if you're sick of paying out the nose for a great shave, go ahead and make the switch to DollarShaveClub.com. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors and grooming supplies for a couple of bucks. It's simple. It's smart. It takes 2 minutes to get set up, and then you don't have to think about razors anymore. You get a free handle. You get replacement blades. It's just a few bucks. The blades come every month or every other month, and they arrive like clockwork. So stop squeezing weeks out of shaves out of the dull razor and using that razor that you know you need to switch the blade on. The Dollar Shave Club blades are fantastic. You'll never get a closer shave. So upgrade to the smarter way to shave. Get your shave gear at dollarshaveclub.com/RHAP. Shave time, shave money. dollarshaveclub.com/RHAP. That's dollarshaveclub.com/RHAP. All right, everybody, here we go. Let's bring in the Spicin' Hour crew. Of course, we know Tyson Apostle and Mr. Spencer Pratt. It's Spicin'.
Song makes me feel so gangster.
Woo.
Yeah, what? What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freestyling with that?
What? Where's my Hennessy suit, bitch? Yeah.
You know what?
What?
Who doesn't love Hennessy soup? I can't even believe those two freaked out.
Wow. Yeah.
They were faking, dude. They loved the soup, and then they were like, but we need drama.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, they think they can get more airtime than us? Guess they don't know. We getting our outfits for this.
Yeah, no soup for you. So just for the one person who listens to this podcast but doesn't watch Marriage Boot Camp, so they know what we're talking about. There was a, we'll talk about all of the challenges, but something that happened on the episode this week, Spencer, you and Heidi came in last place in a challenge and you had to serve food. They sentenced you to be the butler of, Natalie and Jacob.
Yeah. And it was just ridiculous. It was totally rigged. It was another like put Natalie and Jacob against Heidi and Spencer episode. Cause obviously anyone who that saw the episode clearly saw that we won that race. I mean, wasn't the goal to hit everything?
Yeah. Did you notice how all the cameramen were like diving out of the way?
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. So again, for that one guy who listens to the podcast but doesn't watch Marriage Boot Camp, that the challenge that you guys lost involved, it was like a trust exercise, which I think was very dangerous for them to attempt. Was they made the couples
well, we
drive
all signed the waivers?
Yeah, you signed the waivers. This show's more dangerous than Survivor, I think. They made you guys ride golf carts with the person driving the golf cart being blindfolded and the other person having to instruct them. And Heidi and Spencer had a very memorable trip on the golf cart. Can you tell that one person what happened on the golf cart, Spencer?
They did this drill after Heidi and I have been drinking a bottle of tequila in the morning. So already, you know, they put drunk people on a golf cart, which I'm pretty sure is illegal. And, you know, they forced us to drive these golf carts drunk. But Heidi was blindfolded. And with all due respect to my brilliant wife, she has a little difficulty with her lefts and rights under pressure. Let me be clear. So, you know, I'm yelling left, left, you know, we're in an obstacle course and she's going right, right. So finally I said, forget this. And my goal at that point was for her to hit the cameraman. So I had her, you know, aiming at cameraman, and these cameramen and women were jumping for their lives. And it was maybe the funniest thing I've ever experienced in my life because Heidi was blindfolded. And I think she started figuring out that I had her aiming for the camera operators, but you know, I feel like we failed because we didn't hit one, but whatever.
I think part of it was too that Heidi confused left and right with stage left and stage right.
Oh, is that
which
possible?
Is the opposite.
You know, she's such a performer. I'm sure that could be the issue.
Yeah. So next time we do this drill, just say stage left, stage right to her and she'll get it.
Spencer, is it just me or is it in my head from talking to you after all these episodes? This to me seemed like the episode where you guys are the most drunk that we've seen on Marriage Bootcamp. Is that fair?
I don't know. I feel like they've just been editing around our drunk moments. And this one, I feel like they couldn't find any sober seconds. So they were forced to just, what do you think, Heidi?
No,
we're that drunk. Heidi says, no, we were that drunk the whole time.
The whole time. Okay. Yeah, it's just because that you guys have said, maybe if I didn't know, I wouldn't have been able to tell.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you can catch Heidi pretty much between any scene, just like taking down a shot as she'll be walking somewhere, like that's not water.
Yeah, but you guys are probably, you know, pretty functional. Like, you know, you don't slur your words or anything like that.
That's what Heidi was saying last night. She was so impressed. She's like, I thought I would be talking in gibberish this whole season. She goes, I really get some sentences out.
Yeah,
I was actually really impressed because I have a hard time telling when Spencer's drunk or sober. He's pretty much the same.
Yeah. The only difference is I eat a little bit more when I'm drunk, but I eat so much sober that it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Because that's all you can go to gauge it on. So you're like, did he have 3.5 burritos or 3.25?
Like, for instance, that premiere night with Tyson, he got to see when I get drunker how usually I just stuff chips in my mouth, but when I'm drunk, I actually pour them on my face and try to have them land in my mouth.
Yeah, some of them land in your mouth.
Yeah, so that was to the point where I started even stuffing chips in other people's faces because I think they're as drunk as me.
Yeah. Now, Tyson, you don't drink. Is Spencer being a convincing argument to you maybe why you should drink because he really holds it together pretty well?
Well, yeah, he does hold it together well. And also, he gets to live in his mommy's beach house. And my mommy doesn't even have a beach house to live in. And maybe that all comes down to not drinking enough.
Yeah.
Because my mommy loves to drink. So
I'm not saying that she loves to drink, but I'm saying that maybe in a roundabout way, because you love to drink, there's this beach house for you.
Yeah, well, you know what? I agree. And I
have you ever heard of the butterfly effect?
Is that thing, with Ashton Kutcher? Is he at my beach house?
Yeah, one small thing can change the outcome of everything.
Well, I've tried to get him drunk. I got him almost drunk. I fooled him thinking that he could drink a strawberry margarita and it would get him less drunk as a regular margarita. And he was slurping down the bottom, but he didn't get that the tequila goes to the bottom. So he thought he was taking his little sips from the bottom and he was safe. Cut to him staring at his food for like 4 minutes without doing anything. Wait,
you punked Ashton Kutcher?
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you punked Tyson.
Yeah. Ashton Kutcher's not getting anywhere near me.
I was going to say.
Yeah. That just being near him would have been punking him.
Yeah. All right. So how do they let you guys ride the golf cart when you're that drunk, though, on the show? This seems like very irresponsible of Jim and Elizabeth.
Well, they came like right before we drove a golf cart. So they're like, give us your liquor. We're like, but we're already drunk. And they're like, well, you can't drink anymore. We're like, okay.
In respect to Jim and Elizabeth, I mean, with all their professional wisdom and counseling that we've all taken to heart, it's maybe not the most irresponsible thing they've done.
What would that be?
With all respect to them, is they're rarely around us, you know, when we're interacting. If we're not doing a drill, those two are ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, they're spying on us from the spy cams.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. They're in the control room, Big Brother style.
Tyson, what has been the most irresponsible thing they've done to you so far in Marriage Boot Camp?
Oh, man.
I'm slapping Tyson in the face.
Jim slapped me in the face. What else did he do?
Told you that the paintballs didn't hurt and then had you and Rachel bleed.
Yeah. And then I feel like he did some other stuff.
Yeah, it's almost like you're not in Marriage Boot Camp. It's like much like when Spencer had to get into the fraternity and go through Hell Week. It's like you guys are pledging Marriage Boot Camp.
I thought you were going to say a concentration camp, and I was like, whoa, not even.
Not talking about the CC, no.
Yeah.
No, pledging.
Pledging.
It's like Hell Week.
Yeah.
And especially because it's very similar because just like my fraternity, Jim and Elizabeth hate me also, so it's totally the same feeling.
Yeah. So now when you guys were driving the golf cart, what was that like in the moment? Because you guys, for the one person that didn't see the episode, it's you are giving the directions, Heidi is driving, and you guys just basically like completely tore apart the course and just crashed into everything as you're trying to make the 3 minutes around the course.
Well, we watched how boring everybody else's like 10-minute like process of like,
oh, is that a direct jab?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was just like, if I was watching this, I would already have turned this off. So I was like, let's bring the heat. Let's try to run over a camera operator with our little 1 foot tire and see what we can do, what kind of damage we can do.
Yeah, I was cracking up.
Can I have a rebuttal?
Yes. Well, Tyson, you had a different approach to the course where Spencer and Heidi said, let's go as fast as we can and completely destroy the course. You and Rachel had a different approach.
Yeah, we were like, let's just go as slow as we can. No, here's the thing. So Spencer and Heidi couldn't even breathe. They were laughing so hard while they were driving, which was great, but they went before us. So then it was like, because I was like, oh, I'll just cut the course and drive through everything straight to the finish. And then they pretty much did that, excluding crossing the finish line. And so I was like, well, now I'm just going to try and win. And because I'm smarter than this game, I know that it's not about the time. It's about communication. So I was just like, I'll just be quiet, listen to Rachel, take everything she says, and get to the finish line. It doesn't matter the time. And actually, at the nightly evaluation, the sidekick, Ilsa, she got up and she's like, Tyson, I feel like you just figured out that this was about communication, and so you just played to that. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Well, Tyson should have done what I told him to do and just drive the golf cart right off the course and leave the property. And that
would have been so good.
That would have been TV brilliance. But he
just like smashed through the gate.
Yeah, he totally wussed out. Because there's really, it's the only scenario in life that you can just do the most ridiculous thing and not like have any consequence. Be like, oh, Rachel was blindfolded. That's why she drove through the fence.
And Tyson.
But I was the one that was blindfolded.
Either way.
Either way.
Either way.
Yeah. Tyson, did it make you mad that Spencer said the reason why you guys were driving so slow was because you were on your way to your wedding?
I mean, I rarely get furious.
that really burned you up?
But that, straight to the core. It was like, it was almost, I imagine if you call a girl fat, it was like that feeling.
Wow. Why? Why did that cut so deep?
Well, because the whole reason I'm at marriage boot camp, man, is to, you know, figure shit out with a marriage and with weddings. And so, like, to be there working on it and then just to have who you think is your best friend in the house making comments like that, I was like, fine. My best friend's Rachel now, Spencer. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's all?
I don't know.
No, I thought it, in all honesty, when I watched it, I thought it was pretty dang funny.
It was a good line.
It was a great line. I don't know if it was Spencer's best because he had this episode, honestly, was, I think, brilliant on Spencer's part. Like everything he did was so funny.
Yeah. Spencer, you should have gotten a raise for this show.
They actually did. They gave me an extra Taco Bell meal.
Yeah. All right.
Did you get a crunch wrap?
Well, I just found out that people got paid for this show. So I'm just like in shock. Wait, that I did this show for free.
I just did it because I wanted mine and Rachel's relationship.
Yeah, I didn't. I totally was like, Heidi wants to have a baby. We should go on this show and talk about it.
Yeah. Well, there was a big twist in the golf cart challenge, as Tyson said, that they said, okay, the winner isn't who had the best time. It was who had the best communication. And I thought, Tyson, they really, I feel like they did do you dirty. Like, you're the only people that didn't crash into anything. And they were just like, oh, they're not like a couple. They're like partners.
They didn't hug at the end.
Yeah. Oh, that's a point. They lose points for that.
Well, I feel like the thing is that they claim that most relationships have an 80% failure. And the relationships that go through marriage boot camp have an 80% success rate. So I would take everything they say without question. Like, you don't want to question it or really, you know, delve into the whys or hows or whens and just take it.
Yeah.
So they were probably right.
Now, when they have the challenge where it's like blindfolded and like direct the, you know, your loved one in that, did you ever do a blindfold challenge on Survivor? Did that help you at all?
I have done blindfold challenges on Survivor, and I have to say that I hate them. They're the worst ones.
Yeah.
They're stuffy. Like, there's something about going somewhere without knowing where you're going.
Yes.
That I really don't like.
Did it help you at all in this?
Yeah. It did well, so I thought, because I was like, I'll just stay calm, finish this without crashing, and everybody would be like, you're the champion again, Tyson. You're so much better than everybody else here. But that didn't happen.
It didn't happen. All right. No. So they said that the people that did the best were Natalie and Jacob. I must have missed that they did the best.
Yeah. Well, they yelled at each other the most.
But then they, by the end, they got along good. I think that the bar is so low for them that they're so dysfunctional that if they even like don't fight for like a minute, it's like, oh my God, you guys made so much progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Natalie kept her clothes on. So they're like, she's listening to Jacob. Well, because you can't do like booty selfies and drive a golf cart at the same time, I think.
Yeah, and be blindfolded.
You can, not blindfolded.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so they got like a special lunch. And then because you lost the challenge, Spencer, you guys did the worst. You had to be their butler and deliver lunch to them.
Oh, yeah.
But Spencer, you've had enough experience with butlers in your life. So it was kind of like, you got this.
Well, I was just so overwhelmed with, you know, Natalie and Jacob came down in their little fancy pants outfits that I kind of just lost the plot.
Do you know what designer Natalie was wearing?
It looked like that Coochie one.
Coochie?
it's hood Gucci.
I thought it was Massimo from Target.
No, that was clearly Gucci.
Is that like Gucci?
It's similar.
Yeah. So what did you do to the food that Jacob and Natalie were going to eat?
Well, Jacob and Natalie had both been saying they wanted so much Hennessy. Give me the Hennessy. Where the Hennessy at? What's up with the Hennessy? So I got them some Hennessy. And at first I was just putting a little bit of Hennessy on their plate mixed with their food. And then it just was so much fun pouring liquid onto food that I just poured a whole entire glass and then I turned it into a soup. And, you know, God bless you. I really have always heard that, you know, these fancy restaurants, they always have like a base of like liquor. And so, you know, like liquor desserts and, you know, like, you know, wine based meat sauces and stuff like that. So I thought I was, you know, upgrading their meal. And they acted like they didn't care. They thought it was all funny. Like if they really did care, they should have said, we want real food. You know, this isn't funny. Go get us food. But they like just laughed it off. And then cut to like, you know, 45 seconds later, in comes the Hurricane Natalie, bad girl flashbacks or whatever. And she throws white wine into my face and onto Tyson's tongue. And of course they edited out Tyson getting the white wine on his tongue because he got so drunk off of it that, you know, I think it was too much for TV.
Wow. So, yeah, I thought they took it pretty well at first. I was surprised that they it escalated after that because I was like, oh, boy, Natalie's going to flip out. But it didn't seem like she cared.
Yeah, I think they thought it was all ha, ha, ha. But then they realized, wait, this is our opportunity to act like we on the hills and make a little drama.
Yeah, what did she keep saying of that, you know?
This ain't the hills.
It's not the hills.
This ain't the hills. It's like, this is Baldwin Hills.
Baldwin Hills? Where's that?
It was BET's Hills.
Oh, is that what it was called?
Yep.
Tyson, did you watch that, Baldwin Hills?
I think I missed that. What was it about?
It was like Natalie kind of was on it, but not.
Oh.
And what was her signature thing that she did? Something with her butt?
Yeah, similar type females to her were on it, I think.
Yeah, okay. So I looked it up on Wikipedia. Baldwin Hills is an American reality TV series featuring African-American teenagers from Baldwin Hills District in L.A. The series aired on BET from July 2007 to March 2009.
What a Grand Slam reference. Nice job, Spencer.
I took it from Heidi.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, but was Natalie really on it?
No.
Oh.
She wishes.
She wishes. She's on the Bad Girls Club.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe she could have been on both.
Nah.
You don't really get jobs after Bad Girls Club.
Unless you're on Marriage Boot Camp.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
All right. So how did this drink throwing really start to escalate?
Oh, I'll tell you.
Yes.
So we go in and there's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And Reed is like, I don't want this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So he throws it across the room. And I'm like, I've got a better idea. I'm going to throw a sandwich at Spencer's face.
Reed threw the first sandwich?
Reed threw the first sandwich, but not at anybody. He just threw it across the room. And I was like, oh, we're throwing food now? So I throw one at Spencer's face, which slaps him perfectly across the cheek. And then he throws one at me that like opens up midair. And the jelly side sticks to my chest.
But why
like
would Reed throw the sandwich? I mean, he's supposed to be the grown-up out of anybody there.
Yeah, but you remember how he started throwing legs and stuff?
I don't get that.
Well, we'll talk about that later. But so this started. So me and Spencer are throwing, and we're all having a good time. We're just laughing and throwing sandwiches. And then Natalie walks in and looks at the situation. And she immediately is like, food fight. Okay, I'm going to be super angry and get in on this with my boys, Spencer and Tyson. Little does she know that her approach was completely different than ours. Because while we were having fun and joking around, she went like berserko on us. Like she seriously was like, oh, they're having a food fight without me. And I'm super angry right now. So she started screaming. She splashed wine in Spencer's face. Then she splashed wine in my face, which actually really stings if you get it straight in your eyes. And then Spencer starts throwing stuff at her, and I take a bunch of the peanut butter and jelly bread, and I crumble it on top of her head, like into her weave, because I knew that would be difficult to clean out. But they cut the whole scene of me out because they, for some reason, want to make me look sane, which I thank you. And and so it makes it look like Spencer and Natalie are just having a fight when really it was me and Spencer having the time of times of our lives and Natalie trying to get in on the action, but taking it the completely wrong direction.
Yeah, it was, it got very heated.
I'm just so mad that Heidi stopped me from putting that milk on Natalie's head.
Why would you put milk on her head?
Because it's good for hair.
Yeah, well, she needs a milk in her diet.
Yeah.
Calcium.
Well, after all the drink throwing, it seemed like Heidi got mad at you, Spencer, for throwing the water on Natalie's head.
Well, Heidi knew that Natalie spent all of her money on that weave and was worried that, you know, she was going to...
Really? It looks like she got it done for free.
No, I thought it looks good. I thought that was a good... Yeah. I was surprised when she said it was a weave.
Wow.
Is that... Full disclaimer, is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I always kind of, you know, look for that sort of thing. I was surprised.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, you weren't up close, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's hard for me to tell. So, yeah, Spencer, did that drive you nuts when Heidi took Natalie's side?
Yeah, I just actually got mad at Heidi last night. I said, what do you think you were doing? And when we saw that, I was like, I was so mad you did it. Now I'm so mad you did it now.
Yeah.
Did you go to bed angry?
I woke up angry.
Yeah, it would be very frustrating.
Yeah, I think Heidi was just so drunk, she didn't know what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
Is Heidi there right now?
She is. Going back to that
moment, Heidi, would you have allowed Spencer to dump the milk on her head, like in hindsight?
No, because I saw Jacob was about to get serious.
Oh, Jacob was pissed.
Yeah, he was like clenching his fist and he was like, all right, it's got to stop here or else I'm going to escalate it. I was like, all right, the last thing we need is Jacob really stepping in for Natalie?
Because Jacob does have a cut neck throat tattoo, and everybody knows when
it
people
says
have...
It says football or die on it.
So if you have a football or die neck cut tattoo, you should not, you know, have any problems with that person.
And I knew that Natalie was drunk and just trying to make some drama, but the milk took it to another level because I know she, in real life, she spent 3 hours on her weave and so much time, and it's like, okay, as a girl... That's just crossing the line because I know how much time and money that spent. So I just didn't want it to go that far, even though, you know, it might have been some manufactured drama anyways on her part.
Plus, I feel like if you would have dumped the milk on her head, she would have made sour milk out of the whole situation.
Yeah, it was already sour.
Yeah.
At least it would have been organic sour milk.
Yeah. I mean, Spencer, were you scared at any point during this that Jacob was just going to kill you?
Oh, I mean, dealing with those two, I was just getting ready to get stabbed to death at any moment.
Yeah. Who are you more scared of, Natalie or Jacob?
Natalie.
I was more scared of Natalie, too, for the most part, because Jacob Natalie, is, like, sane.
Yeah. Yeah, Natalie, I think, could just, as Drake would say, go to 0 to 1 million in real quick.
All right. The other challenge that they did on this episode, probably equally as dangerous, if not more so, was that they had you guys go into the Shocktagon. Tyson, could you set up what the Shocktagon is?
Yeah, the Shocktagon is like Ultimate Fighting Octagon. Can we even use the word Ultimate Fighting on here?
Yeah, I don't think we're, you know,
infringing,
making T-shirts that say that or anything like that.
Okay, and then in this octagon, they have a metal plate that sends a fake electrical current to the contestant's leg.
Wait, it's fake?
Well, I've already said too much.
Really?
Mine wasn't fake. Mine, they made sure I got electrocuted.
That's true. You can, yeah. I mean,
so Tyson rigged his where he didn't feel it. So he taught me how to do it. So then I tried to copy him. And then they saw that, like, they were shocking me way more than they were supposed to. And they're like, Spencer's isn't working. Bring him out of here. And they had like 4 team members like come in and actually like strap mine up to my thigh. Whereas Tyson and everybody else were able to shake theirs down to their ankles.
Yeah. They it was a shock it. Dog collar around your leg instead of the metal plate giving you a shock.
So
it's misleading there.
So everybody else gamed it. And even like I gave our listeners a week in advance. Viva didn't even have even the dog shock collar on her. She was just, you know, dancing around for no reason.
I think she had it on her fake leg.
Ooh.
Is that what she did?
Is that too close to home? Am I not allowed to?
What?
It's already said.
How
I
could
can't
she,
go back.
How could she have had it on her fake leg when Reed had it and threw it?
Because she brought like a whole thing of fake legs. For every left shoe she doesn't have to bring, she brings a fake leg.
Oh my gosh, this is getting so hardcore.
I can't believe you're going after your friend Aviva.
The sushi maestro, I know. No, I think that it's all in good humor. She would be fine with it.
She's fine. Well,
honestly, she loves anything that talks about prosthetic legs because she's the face, leg of the
prosthetics.
Of prosthetics.
Is she's that true?
The leg of prosthetics.
Yep.
Wow.
No, but honestly, she had a few different ones. Like she has one that's for high heels, and she has one that's for flats, and she has one that's for like a wedge. So she has a few different legs that she brings with her.
Okay.
And one that's really tan.
Mm-hmm. In case she gets sunburned.
The funniest part about the whole show, I hope they don't edit it out, is when they caught Tyson in her leg bag, just like smelling them.
Yeah.
How many does she have?
I don't know what drew me to them, but they smelled like cedar.
So cedar? That makes sense. Are they wood?
No.
Oh.
They're plastic.
Okay.
But you know how like cedar, when you have stinky feet, you put like cedar wood in cedar chips inside your shoes?
Yes.
So I just figure something along those lines.
Hmm. Okay. So Spencer, how much did it hurt when they were doing the shocks to you?
Oh, so before, I'm sure they edited this out, but so before this scene, I just like, you know, got into it with Elizabeth and told her they edited out my best line of the whole show. And I called her a professional interrupter, not a boot camp counselor or something of that sort. So she was all pissed. So Jim said right before, I'm going to get even with you for talking shit to my wife or whatever. So right off the bat, I was like, oh, so we're going off, you know, the reservation here. Like, I thought this was a drill about marriage and you get shocked for that. Jim was just over there, just clicking the button as many times as he could, just shocking me because he was all mad that I called his wife or co-counselor, whatever she is, professional interrupter. So they took it way too personal and were just shocking the shit out of me.
Wow.
Yeah, he shit his pants.
No, I peed him.
Oh, he peed his pants.
I would think that would make the shocking worse.
Yeah, with the liquid and everything.
Speaking of peeing, here's my wife co-host to step in for me while I go pee.
Well, the worst thing about all that is that Aviva totally set Reed up and told him to throw the leg and then pretended, oh, why would you do that to me? I was like, you just set your husband up.
Yeah, she set him up hard. And remember how she came around to us afterwards and was like, can we not mention the leg thing? Don't talk about it in your interviews because I don't want him to show it on TV.
Yeah, nobody talk about the leg, okay? Is that a deal? We're like, no, you set your husband up, you crazy. Why would you even do that to him?
When she asked me to not talk about it, I said yes, and then I went and talked about it.
Yeah, me too. I was like, yeah, sure, lady, whatever.
I mean, is that frustrating when you go to a place like this and, you know, these reality TV houses and people are like really like doing crazy things, like not because it's fun or anything like that, but just trying to create drama for the sake of being good TV. Well,
if it comes off fake, I think, yeah, but if they can pull it off, it's okay. Fake, get it? Fake leg, fake.
Got it. If they can pull it off.
I think everyone's just trying to get the airtime. So it's hard when like we didn't take it too seriously, you know, like for us, the house was fun. It's like, whatever, we're here. Let's just enjoy ourselves as much as we can. And then other people are scheming like, how do we take over the drama and fight with everyone this episode? It's like, all right, let's just all relax a little.
Are you talking about me and Rachel?
My favorite line actually was Rachel's line. She's like, Natalie is a little crazy right now or bonkers. I was like, get her, Rach. That's right. She is. Anyways, whenever Rachel talks, it like the moment stops for me. I like pause the episode like, what's Rachel saying? Everyone be quiet, because it's like the golden moment when she speaks the least. Oh, I'm not talking to my friends. Oh, the other side, I'm talking in the wrong side of this thing.
It sounds the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's Spence.
No, I'm rolling out. You talk. Our listeners have been tweeting, they want to hear more from you.
Yeah, right, you're tweeting that. So anyways, but yeah, I definitely drink a lot for sure. And then I was surprised I can hear myself slowly like slurring in bits. And I just was impressed I could talk at all.
I like when you do like a slow motion look over to Spencer during your couples interviews where Spencer will say something and you'll like take like half a second to be like, what? And then look over at him. And then they all just cut it.
Like the most in
She's thinking, where are we?
What are we doing?
But in the episode that Heidi and Spencer, you guys seem like you really were fighting with each other quite a bit. Is that just like, you know, it's like drunk stuff. And then the next day you guys don't even remember that you had that fight? Or was there like real stuff that you guys are fighting about?
It was a mix because they don't show everything. So like with baby stuff, obviously when I'm drinking, I would get like hypersensitive. So that was like a drunk hypersensitive, like, why did you say that? And then with Natalie, I was just getting a little frustrated because I knew what Natalie was doing. And then she took it too far. And then I knew Spencer was taking it further. And I knew Jacob was about to jump in with his, you know, punches. And I was like, okay, let's wind it down.
With his muscles and tattoos.
Yeah. And I'm just so, out of it, will say that nothing's really making sense too. I'm like, wait, what just happened? No, stop. You know, it's like slow motion in my mind. So, and then I'm just really mad at Jim and Elizabeth most of the time. You know, it's like the drill was unfair. It was obviously rigged that we were supposed to wait on them. They definitely didn't win. And then for them to say that we were acting like brats when I thought Natalie and Jacob were acting like brats, like, you bet you're not serving us well. It's like, okay, why don't you just take it down a notch and enjoy this and not be so bratty and you're being self-entitled and then calling us out about the beach house when you didn't mind staying here for a weekend and that was really fun. So I thought if anyone was acting like brats, it was them, and Jim and Elizabeth were just trying to come at us. So that was my underlying anger throughout the episodes.
I feel like, Heidi and Spencer, you guys are really big on getting apologies. I feel like that you either want apologies from other people or want to see other people apologize about different things. Why do you guys care so much about who apologizes for things?
I don't really remember what you're talking about, but but in general, I like closure. So I like leaving things off on a good foot and communicating. So. But I don't really remember.
It was Natalie and Jacob that wanted the apology.
Yeah, they sat down and were like, we need an apology from Heidi and Spencer. So maybe you were drinking tequila while watching.
That's possible. That's possible. Yeah. I remember in the first episode, though, you guys wanted apologies from Jim and Elizabeth for how they were acting.
Yeah, because they are the professionals. So as a professional, they shouldn't be held to a standard of the housemaids. It's like, are we all housemaids here or are you professionals that aren't supposed to be part of the cast? You know, you're supposed to be setting the precedent of how the behavior is supposed to be. But if you guys are acting bratty and crazy and mean, then they should owe an apology, you know?
Heidi, is it true that you have on your phone a list of baby names?
Maybe. Only for 2 years.
Okay.
That's really not that long, because there are some girls who, since like junior high or even earlier, have names already picked out.
She has those in her journal.
Yeah, those are my journal, but in my phone, my updated phone, 2 years. Yeah.
That's true. I forgot that the smartphones have only been around for a handful of years.
Yeah. If somebody is having a baby and they're stuck, would you help them and give them the names, or you don't want to let any of your names get out because then they're ruined?
I wouldn't give them my names. I'd give them other names, but certainly not my names. Those are very well thought out.
What if you had a friend who came up with a name that was on your list? Would you try to like talk them out of it and try to give them a different name?
I would try to subconsciously tell them, you know, like use my telepathic powers to try to convince them of another name. But no, I wouldn't tell them. I'd be like, oh, okay, guess I back to the drawing board for me.
Were you concerned about the shocks that Spencer was getting?
I was so drunk again. I wasn't knowing if he was acting or not. And I don't know. I was just taking shots in between and not really concentrating. So mine was the fake shots too, because I like rigged it like Tyson did. So I didn't know if he was really getting shocked or not. But I thought, it's part of the game. Whatever. I've shocked myself with a shock collar on accident before. And
whoa,
CBB, they shocked us so crazy and put one on every part of your body that it just like sent a current everywhere and threw you on the floor, basically. It hurt so bad. So I was like, what's this little shock? It's fine.
Tyson, would you do that?
Do what?
Get shocked?
For what?
Just for fun? Not just to try it?
Like I've licked a 9-volt battery before.
Yeah.
Have you stuck a fork in a outlet before?
No, but in junior high, what we used to do is take paper clips and we'd fold them into a fork and kick them into an outlet, and they would short like the entire school, and we'd be out of school early, or class would be shut down for half an hour while they figured out why the breaker wasn't working.
So it's crazy now that you'd be arrested for terrorism for doing that.
I know. And back then they were just like, that was a pretty good joke.
Now you'd be in Guantanamo.
Crazy kids.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy kids. Kids will be kids.
Yeah. What's coming up next week on Marriage Bootcamp?
Next week we have, the sex puppets.
Sex puppets. All right. This sounds interesting.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up because they all have clothes on. But they have us act out sex scenes with these puppets, dude.
Like what? Like what kind of puppets? Like a real doll?
Like a ventriloquist dummy that kind of looks like you.
Okay, so it's not like a blow up doll. Version. Yeah.
So that's what you got to look forward to. And then you have
I can't really wrap my head around that.
You're gonna have to tune in, man. So
wow.
Yeah. I think they had Jim Henson work on it from Beyond the Grave.
Wow.
Crazy the budget, man. They hologrammed him in and then he designed all the puppets for us.
But it's pretty tame. I think everyone was keeping their real sex lives on the DL.
Even Natalie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's really trying to use this show to like get endorsements and like build brands off of this show.
Okay. Not even Aviva and Reed?
Oh, they're the serious brand builders.
They're the most private.
What's their brand?
They're trying to get a tequila endorsement.
Who was? I think their brand is like the Alpo like dog food.
Dog food?
I guess. I don't know why they keep talking about it, but they haven't shown it on camera. So,
What do they keep talking about dog food? That the food there is bad, like dog food?
No, they just keep mentioning Alpo puppy mix every time they get a chance.
Okay. Tyson, have you been approached for any endorsements after Marriage Bootcamp so far?
I've actually had Abercrombie offer me $1 million to never wear their clothes.
Oh,
I don't wear your clothes anyways, bros.
You should take it.
I hope the situation really did take that check back in the day.
Yeah. Is it true, Spencer, that you've been offered an endorsement from Chat Vodka?
If that was true, I'd be drinking as much Chat Vodka as they'll send me.
Did you say that Chat Vodka is the best kind of vodka?
If they gave me money or free vodka, you'd catch that coming out of my mouth real quick.
It's CH at symbol T.
I think we can make that happen, actually, Spencer.
Well, you just let me know where they want, how many cases they want to send me, and I'll drink it all.
Yeah. Wow. Chat Vodka could be
the official
vodka of Spencer Pratt.
Is that a real vodka, or is this a funny inside joke?
It's real.
It's a real vodka owned by Jervis Peterson, who was a contestant on Survivor.
Does he do a chat tequila?
He might be able to do something special for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I would like a tequila, chat tequila.
Yeah. And they have a roulette wheel coming out also.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they're movers.
Really
and
broadening their base, huh?
Yes. Yes. And it's designed to be shared with people who are over 21 years old on Chat Vodka.
The roulette is?
Yeah, they have two kinds. One original is called P2P, and then the strawberry is called SMH.
I don't get it.
Tyson, you need to come out with some type of line if these other Survivor people got vodkas and stuff and million-dollar podcasts. Like, you need to step it up.
I have a fragrance out, but it's Nordstrom won't pick it up.
What's the fragrance called?
Oh, God. Now I got to think of a name for a fragrance.
SMH.
SMH, dude.
All right. So, Tyson, see if you can get on that for the big endorsement.
You know I will.
Okay. All right. Are you guys ready to segue into talking about the week gone by?
Hell yes. Yeah.
Let's do okay. it. Some people have been tweeting me.
All right, here we go.
Some people tell me on Twitter they only get their news from the Spice and Hour.
Okay, yeah. here we go. Woo! All right, Spicin' News.
If people retweet us 100 times,
yes,
then I will send a video of me dancing to that because I get up and dance every time you play that.
Okay.
So does Heidi.
What do we need to do?
Yeah, you got two videos coming your way, team.
So how many things do we need to do to get see you dancing?
We need 100 retweets on our when we advertise this podcast.
Okay, 100 retweets.
Yep.
All right, I think that's doable.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I think it's worth it.
Not looking like a possibility with our current momentum.
Yes, I think the momentum is good.
I think it's slamming.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Like Tyson.
Super Bowl beat us out by a little bit last week, but not by much.
Yeah, not too much. All right, speaking of the Super Bowl. All right. There apparently, did you watch the halftime show of the Super Bowl? Do you remember the halftime show, Spencer?
The one with Missy Elliott?
Yes.
I call her Misdemeanor.
Missy Elliott and her sharks killed it.
Yeah. All right. Well, those sharks that we're talking about from the Super Bowl, that there's somebody on the website Indiegogo who is giving people the opportunity to get a shark costume like from the Super Bowl for $99.
I think that person received a cease and desist from Katy Perry's lawyer, among many other people.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Because I really think that that's going to be the hot Halloween costume this year. Unless Disney can come out with a princess movie before then, it's going to be Katy Perry's shark costume will be number one during Halloween.
Yeah, well, they'll be sold by Katy Perry because her lawyers are on it.
All right. Well, we talked about last week about the urinal Kickstarter that was starting. They have a $5,000 goal to start manufacturing the shark costumes. Tyson, do you want to take a guess how much money has been raised?
I will say $150,000.
$150,000. Spencer, do you have a guess?
He's Googling it.
3,000.
Well, Tyson, you went over. It's with only $45,000. So I guess Spencer does win. Yes! Spencer! You win a free shark costume.
I'm going to Disneyland.
Yes, you'll be the hit at the beach house. Now all those surfers that sit outside your beach house, you run outside in the shark costume and scare them all away.
Yeah, no more tourists.
That's it. All right, so we'll have to see what happens in the lawsuit if Katy Perry takes it. Why does Katy Perry care if they make shark costumes?
Her lawyer said that they're infringing on her copyright.
She has a copyright?
She copyrighted those?
You talk to Universal Music Group. I'm not sure.
Wow.
If she was on the Pratt Daddy Productions label, would you encourage her to also sue?
It wouldn't even be up to her. I would have everybody in court.
Wow.
The best
I feel kind of bad for like kind of like the little guy.
She actually tweeted about one of the people that like was making the shirts like for people to get. Like she tweeted about it. And that same person was like, cool that she tweeted me, but it's not so cool that her lawyer hit me with a cease and desist.
All right. Watch out for that. If you're thinking about making Katy Perry shark costumes.
Well, how many followers did they get? Because if they got enough followers, it seems almost worth it to do a little copyright infringing just on the onset and then shut it down when she threatens you on Twitter.
Well, that's what the guy also Twittered. He's like, anybody really good lawyer that wants to take on her law firm for me for free?
Oh, and did they get a response?
Well, I responded, but I'm not a lawyer.
Yet.
Yet.
All right.
But you have connections at USC Law School.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another story from this week. Are you guys familiar with the website Tinder? I know you're both in committed relationships.
Are we talking about what that girl did to Julian Edelman?
No, well, I wasn't going to talk about that, but we can talk about that.
No, yes. We're familiar with the left-right swipe.
Yes. Well, now there's a new website that's basically a Tinder for people who like to smoke pot. It's called Hi There, and it's a Tinder for people who are really into weed.
I actually like that idea. I am not a weed smoker.
That seems like the fastest way to get arrested in the game.
Is it a trick?
Yeah, like the cops make this app. Like, come smoke weed with us at the police station.
They're shifting their focus from catching predators online to catching teenage kids smoking who want to smoke weed.
Yeah, and get laid. So it's like, hey, do you like weed and getting laid? Like, get this app, and then the police come and knock at your door.
As soon as you download the app, a SWAT team kicks in your door.
That should be called the NARC app.
The NARC app.
It is called. It's actually called, what's it called again?
Hi There. It's H.
It's called Hi There by NARC Productions.
Hi there. You're under arrest.
Yeah. Now, what if you ask the person on Hi There? Are you a cop? Don't they have to tell you?
That's my
favorite thing that people think. Cops don't have to tell you anything.
Are you a cop? You know you have to tell me by law. No, I am not a cop.
Is that also a trick?
That is 1,000% a trick. That was also made by the Hi There app company.
They started that urban legend.
Yeah,
NARC Productions.
They're like, no, man. If you ask if they're a cop, they have to tell you.
Yeah. Wait, so tell me now. Are you mic'd up? Are you bugged? No. Okay.
Hey, man. Are you some kind of cop? No, I am not, sir.
Okay.
Hi There sounds like the dumbest thing to like.
Unless you're in Colorado.
But even then, it's federally a crime, my friend.
Ooh.
So okay. The DEA.
The FBI's on it. This is an FBI thing. This goes even deeper.
The DEA could make that app and then just roll everybody.
Oh, God, dude. So are you saying it's best to smoke weed in public, in private?
Yeah.
I'm saying you shouldn't do anything illegal, period.
That's what I think, too. But I was kind of baiting you to see, and you also answered right.
Yeah.
So Rob, what do you think? Because, Rob, you kind of, when I said it's best to smoke weed in private, you said yes.
Well, I think that it's definitely better to smoke it in private than in public. I think you have a better chance to get arrested if you smoke in public. We don't really have anybody that smokes pot that listens to any of the Rob is a Podcast shows, though.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, but if they did, they just got super paranoid.
Yeah, they're definitely watching their backs now.
They got way more paranoid after hearing about this. All right, the movie 50 Shades of Grey is coming out soon. Are either of you guys planning a trip to see it with your significant other?
I will tell you the funniest 50 Shades, whatever that's called. Movie.
Whatever it's called.
Story. Heidi somehow thought that in that movie, she thought it was a horror movie, not like whore, an actual like horror movie.
Right.
And she said, I can't believe people want to go see a movie where they slice up her vagina. And I said, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah, he tortures her and cuts up her vagina. So Heidi thought it was like Hostel, the sex movie.
Torture porn.
She even tweeted about it, and I retweeted her. She's like, what's up with 50 Shades of Grey? Is that a horror movie or what?
No, and she was literally, because I was like, we're going to go see that on Valentine's Day. And she's like, what? You psycho? You want to see a girl's vagina get sliced up? I'm like, what are you talking about?
All right, well.
But in all fairness, none of us have seen the movie, so maybe they were a little creative with the script.
Yeah. All right, well. We're
going on Valentine's Day, and then I'm going to bring Heidi goes, if you even try to do any of that stuff, I'll hit you in your face. What did you say, Heidi? Oh, beat you. She said, I'll cut you up.
What? How does she know she's not going to want to try out what's in the movie if she doesn't know anything about it?
Said it's Valentine's Day. Let's reenact the movie.
Yeah, I tried to get my wife to read that book, and she was like, "I don't want to be like one of those housewives reading that book." I was like, "Oh, maybe try it."
Rachel read the book.
Yeah.
And let me tell you afterwards, I was like, oh, this part's new.
Yeah. Ironically, I think it involves blindfolds, which we've already established on this show we don't care for.
Yeah, no, not for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, the 50 Shades of Grey is coming out. It's a big phenomenon. But there's a company that tried to cash in on this with a 50 Shades lubricant. And someone is filing a class action lawsuit saying
it
did not work. No, it was not Katy Perry. Because the product's packaging promises users will experience enhanced orgasms and stimulation as every tingle, touch, and vibration intensifies. And it includes the line from the novel, "I surrender," exploding around him, a draining, soul-grabbing orgasm that leaves me spent and exhausted. And the woman says it was a letdown.
Whoa. I feel like I should have to talk to Rachel about this conversation when it's all said and done.
Yes. So do you think that is this a valid lawsuit, Tyson?
Yeah, I guess no. Are any of those class action lawsuits valid? I don't know. That's the thing. So I guess if
the one where the McDonald's person spilled the coffee is totally legit.
That was legit when you watched the biased documentary on it. But we never got McDonald's.
Well, the real question is, where did she apply the lube? Because maybe there was a certain place.
Yes,
she was doing it wrong.
Of her hands.
Yeah, like that's. If I was arguing the case defending the lube, I'd say, well, where did you put the lube?
Yeah.
Because there's some certain places. If you put that lube, you're going to be tingling.
Well, it didn't work for her, and they promised it would.
Well, I think maybe she should just
watch the movie.
Money's back first.
You have to read the book as you do it.
Oh, that's probably where she went wrong. It's the instruction manual she has to read.
Yeah, maybe the instructions are really dirty also.
That could be.
All right. There's also a story that came out this week about a man who has been told that he only is capable of approximately 100 more erections before his penis stops working for good.
How did he come up with that number?
He went to doctors, and apparently he has a condition where every time he gets an erection, that what ends up happening is that the veins and like the capillaries and all the stuff inside, like they break down like a little bit more, and then eventually, after about 100 more times, he'll be just done for good.
Well, can't he use like a retinol serum or something on it?
No, there's no cure for it. They call
it no known cure.
Idiopathic fibrosis of the corpora cavernosa.
Why does he try snorting Viagras?
No, well, it's not that he can't get an erection. It's that after the erection is damaging to what he has going on to his internal plumbing, and that I don't know if it's like, you know, when they say you're not supposed to use like Drano on your pipes because then eventually the pipes are going to stop working. But
yeah.
After 100 erections, then he's just done.
Well, he should really choose those ones wisely.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the Indiana Jones cup.
Yeah.
It's more like when Elaine on Seinfeld is interviewing guys to have sex with because her birth control.
Sponge-worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sponge-worthy.
So he has to sort of pick his spots now for these 100 last directions.
Correct.
Yeah. So do you have any advice for him, Tyson?
Oh man, do I have any advice for him?
Yeah.
You just got to be selective, man, and don't be afraid to be a no man.
Yes.
That's a good question. Could he get a gender change and get a vagina and then just have sex that way?
Oh, that's not a bad idea at all.
You know, Spencer, I didn't want to get too much into this, but I was interested to know your take on the Bruce Jenner stuff. Did you ever meet Bruce Jenner?
I had actually beef with Bruce Jenner at one time. We had he put out a statement saying, you know, Brody's got, what do you say? Brody's got a bad influence, best friend. So then I called him out and I was like, well, Brody's got a really bad dad that lived in the valley with these stepdaughters that never raised him, and I got him real back real good. And then he was so nervous that I'd keep on bringing the heat, aka the truth, that he rolled up on me on a red carpet and he's like, let's just put this behind us. You know, let's squash this beef. And I said, all right.
Were you a little flattered, though, that he knew that you and Brody were best friends?
I was just shocked he knew he had a son named Brody at the time.
Are you supportive of Bruce Jenner as he goes through this transformation now?
I mean, have your beef and everything behind you.
Yeah, obviously. now that we don't beef, I'm just so sad that, you know, you divorced Chris. If, you know, I would have liked it more if this was all true, you know, if he allegedly is becoming a female, I would have liked for him to stay with Chris Jenner and they would have become, remain married. And I thought that would have been a very powerful duo.
Power couple.
And I would have loved to have seen them, you know, come after Ellen and, you know, and just own the scene.
Yeah.
On a talk show.
It'd be exciting. All right. One more story. This is a story that Mashable is reporting that people who use emoji have more sex than those who don't. Now, are you guys big emoji guys?
I love that article. And then I realized that my mom uses the most emojis ever. And I was like, I'll never use the emojis again.
I'll never be able to clean my brain.
I felt so dirty. And I even deleted my emoji keyboard.
Well, don't delete yours. Because then you
text message. He used to only communicate through emoji.
Hmm.
So it was always like a guessing game.
Yeah. Now, why do you think that the people that are using the most emoji are having the most sex, Tyson?
Science.
Because emojis are made in Japan.
Is that it?
Yeah.
And you know how sexually active the Japanese are.
Yes.
Freaky.
Okay. All right. Well, we learned a lot here today. Again, as we're approaching Valentine's Day, I guess it's good we learned a lot of stuff. We're going to learn more next week also when we get the sex puppets involved. But we learned quite a bit here about what people should be doing if they want to date and get high at the same time. If they have a debilitating penis condition, why they should be using emoji. Not to use any of this 50 Shades of Grey snake oil lubricant.
And to buy your shark costume direct from Katy Perry.
Yes. Yes. All right. Do we have a hashtag for today's show?
Yeah, we probably have a bunch of them.
Yes.
100 retweets. That's probably already taken.
Yes. And you can't start with a number. You have to write out the word 100.
Hashtag bootleg weave.
Bootleg weave.
Milk weave.
Milk weave.
Hashtag Shoctagon.
Shoctagon.
That's a good one.
Okay. Let's go with Shoctagon.
Okay. I can't imagine a lot of people have tweeted about that, but
yeah, because it was something that was on Marriage Bootcamp.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
five million people live tuned into that. Yeah.
I'm gonna hashtag Shoctagon right now and make sure.
Yeah, it depends how you spell it.
Oh, it does?
Well, how do you want it? Like, how would you spell it?
I would spell it Shoctagon.
See, I think you would take the K out.
You'd take the K out and put a T?
Yeah, well, I think you would just, like, have it octagon and then put S-H-O in front of it.
Yeah, do that.
I think the K becomes redundant.
Okay, you're right. I'm an idiot.
No, you could do it either way.
Yeah. We know what you meant.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you spell octagon, though? I got it. Okay. Let's see. There are some Shoctagon tweets. Two. There's only two.
Yeah, one guy. It's from 2012, so let's do it.
Okay.
Okay. He was a Nostradamus of a marriage boot camp.
Yeah, he really.
All right.
Oh, we could have done 50 Shades of Spicing.
Oh my God, dude, is it too late?
Okay, either one. You could go with either one.
Or both.
All right.
I think we got to stay in that boot camp brand.
All right, we'll do it. All right. So, Tyson and Spencer, follow Tyson on Twitter. He's at Tyson Apostle. Follow Spencer. He's at Spencer Pratt. Anything else, guys?
We don't have any listener questions this week.
We do, but we don't have time. Next week, what's the number they can call to leave a voicemail, and we will respond to every single voicemail we get.
Yeah, go to
and just leave your phone numbers too, so we can call you when we're bored.
Yeah, go to robinsawebsite.com/voicemail or call in at 323-282-RHAP. That's 323-282-RHAP.
And should we surprise call one of our guests?
That's what I'm saying.
You want to just call somebody on the phone?
Yeah.
Leave your phone numbers.
Leave your phone number and we'll call you if you got a good question.
All right. So, sounds good. We'll surprise somebody. All right. Take care, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Spicin back here on Rob Has a Podcast. I told you at the top of the show all the stuff I'm working on for you guys this week. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really pumped up getting ready for the new Survivor season. Thanks so much for coming aboard and sticking with me through all these podcasts. Really love getting to do all this stuff with you guys and talk to all these crazy people. So thanks so much for hanging in there with me. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Make sure you subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Or you could also get on board with the Rahap app available for iOS or Android. Go to robhasawebsite.com/app. Get the app that you need for your device. You can hear everything from Rob's podcast, post-show recaps, reality TV wrap-ups, soundboard. You got everything you need on there. So go ahead and check that out as well. Looking forward to getting to the debates tomorrow on Rob's podcast. Hope you can join us live 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Have a great one, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Bye.